evening that the city sleeps too high. Let's swim out tonight, love. It's our turn to try. Heart beside the ocean on our moonlight drive. Let's swim to the moon. Let's climb to the tide. Surrender to the waking worlds that lap against our side.
Greetings, everybody. This is Tabitha. Welcome to another edition of White Wellness today, November 19th, 2021, broadcasting out of New York for White Wellness Radio. That song right there was The Doors with Moonlight Drive way back in 1967. And today's show is just a little special show, even though I did one yesterday. Just coming back today for a little kind of mini show on the full moon slash eclipse. This is supposedly the most significant eclipse, I think, in the last century, something to that effect. So yeah, we've got a full moon in Taurus and an eclipse happening all at once. Pretty interesting. A lot of stuff going on in the world. We have the not guilty verdict coming in for the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Supposedly there have been bricks put out in different parts of major cities in the country. I think there's a lot to that. I think there's definitely a psyop element, but I also think that regardless of whether it's real or how much of it is real, there is also what it's really going to be used for. That's my concern with something like that. More villainization of whites, more talk of, quote, white supremacy, more razzing up of the primate proxy, more ways that they can just give lip service to pedophilia. So there's a lot of agendas, of course, going on right now. There's always multi-faceted aspects to the agendas. So on a high note, full moon and a partial lunar eclipse. And some things about these days are that you can kind of tune in more to the power that that is, kind of like on Samhain where the veil was thin for the ancestor. On eclipse days, this is according to some Kundalini yoga, energy moves in a diagonal direction, breaking through vibratory patterns held in the perpendicular and parallel grids that the Earth is structured on. Eclipses are like a controlled burn, an opportunity to shed and cut through old patterns and behaviors that are keeping you from your highest destiny. Today's full moon partial lunar eclipse is one of the longest eclipses in centuries, and that means a more magnetic window to open for you to make big changes. This, coupled with the full moon in Taurus, and that makes sense because the full moons are always in the opposite sign, Scorpio is the opposite of Taurus, and this is Scorpio right now. So when it's Taurus time in May, the full moon is in Scorpio. So this, coupled with the full moon in Taurus, all about individual expression and pulling what you want to be doing into the 3D, sets a powerful foundation for massive shifts and amplifies what feeds health, wealth, and comfort. So a time of change, a time to maybe put some action into motion. Many more things I can say about what is going on. What are some good ways to come into the fullness, our own wholeness? This is kind of like a whole body mindfulness type of thing. Like yesterday we were talking about ways to kind of ritualize the day and, you know, preserve and kind of take back our power and do that. But what are some ways that we can welcome in our own fullness, kind of taking everything back and owning ourselves as opposed to succumbing to any of their snares, their psyops, their anti-white garbage? What are ways that we can welcome our own fullness without censorship under the full moon? And we live in a world of heaps of censorship. Last time I was on YouTube, I think I lasted 48 hours. And then it wasn't even a risque or a provocative amount of things that I said. It was just the fact that I guess it was associated with the word white. That's a bad word these days. So what are some ways we can come into our fullness? These are things that really the society doesn't necessarily value, or they value it in a way that's inverted and perverted, like essentially everything else. So by making noise, because of course censorship always wants to kind of shut us up, put the packing tape over our mouth, the JWO chat feed bag, aka the costume, move freely. Of course, that is the antithesis of doing the 6-foot public roboting. Of course, they know that the heart chakra or the anahata has a 6-foot frequency field. So they know when people are doing that stupid crap. Are people still doing that shit with the 6 feet or whatever? I mean, I haven't really seen it around my area, but I do see how some people kind of move or recoil when you kind of are in what they would consider like their Oyid space. But anyway, moving freely is antithetical to all their robotic motions. Howling with laughter, that's great too. Maybe even howling at the moon if you feel you can. Like, I guess it depends on your neighbor situation. Like, if you have neighbors close to you, probably maybe not a good bet. I guess unless you're like really just going to go for it. Letting the tears flow, if that's something that happens, not necessarily good to hold that in. Oftentimes we're told, especially men, that men have to hold that in, but that sounds like not really good to hold in like any bodily function, whether it be crying or, you know, pooping or peeing or anything. Speaking your full truth. This is a good thing to do right now under this Taurus full moon. Speaking your full truth and not apologizing for any of it. Like, don't apologize for not wanting majorities in your country. Don't apologize for not wanting transsexualism in the school system or anywhere in like your society. Like, don't apologize for these things. These are good values to have. They are values. Embrace the full spectrum of our emotional being. Of course, this society is meant to numb us. I was actually thinking of playing Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd yesterday on the show because I wanted the show to kind of be the opposite of being comfortably numb, but Zog wants us to be numb. And there's a word I learned the other day. I think I talked about it actually when I was talking about gaming. Yeah, a week ago. Alexithymia. It's something that sometimes people who have what Zog says is like autism or Asperger's. It's like inability to express like any emotions. And I think that a lot of the snares these days are to do that or to just make people like parrot stuff back that's based on like an emotional response, but not actually like an emotional expression. It's kind of a difference between those two things. And the final one on this list, gather with your racial brethren, whether that be IRL or online. Just connecting with other like-minded racial comrades and whites is always a good thing. Of course, sometimes it can feel difficult to welcome in the paths of ourselves, of course, especially when we're caught off guard with like snare after snare, snare within snare, snares in every milieu of existence. Through conditioning and ancestral trauma, we have learned to hide certain thought patterns or emotions, aspects of ourselves that feel like they take up too much space or are not received well by the world. And of course, This is especially true when being white, because they want to make us feel like we've done all the bad stuff in the world. It's a terrible psychological psyop. But the moon does not ask permission to shine as radiantly as it does. The moon moves through the darkness, grows, and bears her wholeness for the world to see, round and full and unabashed. And we too have the capacity to change, to grow, to choose to shine as brightly as we are intended to, in our wholeness, our messiness, and our magnificence. So yeah, don't succumb to Zog's standards. That doesn't mean be a degenerate. It just means don't succumb to any of the status quo, which is really no one's friend. So here are some things that one can do on the full moon and the partial lunar eclipse. Change is inevitable. Reality is necessary. Take a real and true account of what you want to do and what you need to do to make that happen. Take a look at your resources and make a note of how you're using them. How are they helping you? Are you over or under doing something? Stay tuned in 48 hours before and after the eclipse. And the eclipse happens at, it already happened, it was 1:02 Pacific Standard Time or 4:02 Eastern Standard Time. So, but stay tuned into it before, during, and after for the inspiration. So we're still in the inspiration thing, intuition and manifestation of what you want. So some more good information there about this eclipse and full moon both happening on the same day. I can feel the power of the energy shift. Maybe you can as well, depending on if you're attuned to this stuff. I know not everyone who's a racialist is too familiar with this or too attuned to it, perhaps being open to learning more about it. All this esoteric stuff, or whatever you want to call it, I mean, this is really where I think it's at. I mean, I don't want to spend time talking about just the news and stuff like that. I'd rather, you know, discuss stuff like this, which actually can give us more insight on ourselves, as opposed to just being constantly demoralized by story after story after story that Zog puts out there. Like, here's something rather on the unsavory tip. Austria imposes a nationwide lockdown for 20 days for the entire populace from Monday and will force the entire populace to be vaccinated as of February 2022. This is the first European country and one of the first in the world to impose compulsory crown virus vaccination. Yikes, that is scary. I wonder how that is going to go. A lot of riot energy right now in the world, right? And like that, all that energy can kind of make you kind of, I think, just energetically distract you, because it's like a rouseful, fiery energy. And I think it's kind of by design. So we focus so much on that, but it's really of very much importance to strengthen oneself, especially now, especially having, if you can, a daily meditation practice. It doesn't have to be like 2 hours. You could work your way up to that if that's something that you want to indulge in, but it can be like 15 minutes and you can feel better. I did like a short set today of Kundalini, only like, I think it was like 22 minutes. I posted the video on the discourse today, the main channel. But even after that of breathing in a certain way, I felt very good, like a boost, like lifted, you know? So it doesn't really take that much time to do this and have that little time to tune in. And also, these habits are really good for mitigating stress. There are many things we can do to mitigate stress, from diet to, you know, light to just really everything that affects our sensorium. But something like yoga, especially Kundalini yoga, is one of the best ways, I think, to really lower stress and really just boost everything, because when you get into certain poses, you kind of work all the nadis, or the energy centers in the body. And it's kind of almost like the same way that acupuncture or acupressure would work, where it kind of stimulates these energy meridians or nadis, depending on, you know, what school of thought you're from. So in that way, you kind of like recharge your whole nervous system and endocrine system. It's really quite scientific in the real Aryan way, not in the Oyedei way of, you know, wear a costume and like go to work and be sprayed with all this Lysol. Just or whatever. I saw this crazy clip a week or two ago of these Chinese workers just getting spritzed with this, like, I don't know what the hell it was. It was probably carcinogenic, but yeah, this is real science, this Kundalini stuff. And here's something I posted today. When the deep self emerges, the deep self emerges when stress is melted away. Enjoy this magical full moon day. So yeah, Kundalini really can help with this. It's another layer that can go on as a frosting, if you will, on top of everything else that's already foundational. Like we talked about yesterday, food is your foundation, then your lifestyle, then your supplements. That's really how it has to work. Kundalini yoga would, of course, be part of the lifestyle, also spiritual food in a certain way. A bit more about the moon here. Let's see what else I can say about it. Oh yeah, I know what I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about the zodiac signs and how each zodiac sign is going to be affected by the eclipse. And this is for the more well-known astrology called tropical astrology. The Vedic one is called sidereal astrology, which I'm just kind of learning about right now. My sign doesn't change. A lot of people's signs actually do change with this one, which is actually kind of interesting to think of people who you've known for years and be like, oh, wait, you could be that. It's just, it's kind of weird. It kind of gives you like a different feeling on everything. Let's just take a gander at the chat, actually. I realized I was kind of sitting far away for a while. I was like doing a yoga pose for like the last, like, I don't know how long I've been broadcasting, but I was in Balakonasana, that one where like you put your feet together right in front of you and like your legs are out flat. So like I was just doing that for however long, but I hope I was close enough to the microphone. Let's take a gander at the chat. Okay, we've got OG in the chat. We've got, oh, I got a couple of people. Okay, Thoughts as Seeds. Hello, everybody. What's up, indeed? Wow, I guess I was holding that pose for almost 20 minutes there. Wow. All right. So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff about the full moon, magical time of year. So let's talk about how this affects all of the zodiac signs, starting with Aries, which is considered to be the first sign of the zodiac. That is the Ram. March 21 to April 19. Prepare for a major turning point in your financial life, Aries. The lunar eclipse could bring a huge opportunity around your income, assets, or investments. Many Aries will find out that a payout is set to arrive or receive news of a raise, lucrative, client interested in hiring them, or even a new job. If for some reason you lose a stream of income at this time, you're being redirected to pursue more stable sources of money. Search for ways to make your life prosper, and before you know it, you'll be sitting on a throne of gold. Taurus, April 20 to May 20th. One of the most important turning points in your life has come, Taurus. You are stepping into your power more authentically and vividly than ever before and shaking off the chains of who you once were. Now is a time not to settle and to aim high for your most significant hopes and ambitions, whilst understanding that you need to begin a whole new chapter of your life. A major heartfelt goal or project may now be within reach. Whilst you could see a shift around a significant partnership near this time, too, you will feel most fired up that you have in years and about living in purely your alignment with the vision you have set out for yourself. Destiny is propelling you rapidly in this new journey. Open your wings and soar without looking back. You are the master of your universe, created unapologetically. And that is the sign of the bull, Taurus, by the way. And then we have Gemini, the sign of the twins. I think the most amount of twins are actually born under the sign of Gemini. May 21 to June 20. Rest is calling you, Gemini. The lunar eclipse will activate the most hidden and private part of your chart, encouraging you to recharge your mental and physical batteries. Some Geminis could realize they're due for a new checkup at the doctor or sense that there's something from the past that has come back for them to face. Connecting with the perfect specialist, therapist, dentist, or doctor would be ideal at this time. They may recognize that something is a bit off and quickly swoop in to help you heal yourself going forward. Whilst you could also be feeling the need to lie now, meditate, or tap into your lay low. They spelled it wrong. It should be lay low, not lie low. Okay, lay low, meditate, or tap into your intuition near this time. Listen to your dreams and the whispers of the universe. Your creative and spiritual energy will also intensify at this time. And Cancer, this is the sign of the crab. June 2021 to July 22. Prepare for a monumental personal breakthrough, Cancer. The lunar eclipse highlights a very special place in your sky, energizing your social life and friendships. You could attend a major event near this time that connects you with people who may open doors to your most helpful hopes and dreams. Whilst a friend or an acquaintance may leave your life near this time, especially a woman, you may find that a platonic soulmate now enters too. This coming and going of connections will expand your life going forward, and soon you could wonder how you ever lived without this person. Someone in your network could step in to provide a vital introduction for you. 2. Opening your horizons in ways you have prayed for. Above all, have fun near this time and live passionately. People will be attracted to your vibrant spirit. The next one is Leo, the lion, July 23 to August 22. Professional glory could now be calling your name, Leo. The lunar eclipse spotlights your career, ambitions, and public recognition. That may bring mostly news of promotions, awards, and favorable publicity, or even a chance of fame. The world will likely be applauding you for previous hard work, that is, if you're in the right professional lane. If so, a new job or opportunity to show your skills could be exactly what you've hoped for. However, if you are not on the right job or in the right job, you could be contemplating an entirely new career direction and decide it's time to embark on that path. You've been testing out a new professional waters for quite in recent years. This may finally be time for you to decide to take the leap. Virgo, the sign of the Virgin, or what they tell us is the Virgin, but I think essentially that is a inversion. It's the sign of like sexual emancipation of a woman, essentially, as opposed to the Zog version of all their, their female characters as, you know, weak, the one who stole the fruit, the one who has to have pain during childbirth. It's kind of the opposite of like that Zog energy. New horizons are calling your name, Virgo. The lunar eclipse activates your... They've had this thing like all over this and I can't even see this. I'm going to have to cut and paste it. Gosh, they posted this advert like right over it. Awful. Okay, here we go. New horizons are calling your name, Virgo. The lunar eclipse activates your sector of expansion, encouraging you to spread your wings and soar into vast, uncharted territory. For some Virgos, you'll be focusing on long-distance travel or immersing yourself in new cultures, lifestyles, philosophies, and spiritualities. Wisdom is here for you to take. All you have to do is put yourself out there. If you deal with international markets or people, you can find that you have a major turning point around these matters. Some Virgos will decide to relocate or apply for a visa. Another way that could manifest is around academics, especially if you've considered going back to school or focusing more extensively on a thesis project. Lastly, if you are involved in the media or have sought to be, you could now find an opportunity around publishing, television, or radio appearances. Want to write that book or screenplay you've always dreamed of and put off? Dust it off and see if you can approach it in a new light. Libra, the scales, the only sign that is not an animal or a human. The universe is focusing you extensively on how to combine The universe is focusing you extensively on how you combine and share with others at this time, Libra. On one hand, it can reveal that established partnerships are growing stronger, especially financially. A partner may now bring in more income that improves your lifestyle. If you have assets, investments, or stocks, you may also notice a big shift around these areas or even decide to make your first dive into them. For some who are employed, a change around insurance, benefits, or packages could also be at hand. Some Libras may instead focus on applying for a scholarship, loan, credit line, or venture capital. Yet another way this could manifest is that a settlement or bonus may now appear for you, especially if you were separating from a partner. Others will embark upon surgery to heal a very important karmic health situation. Lastly, and certainly but not least, you will be feeling especially sensual and sexual at this time, likely reflecting on how you've approached relationships in recent years. Happier unions could enjoy some deep passion, whereas single Libras could be facing how to heal trauma from the past. And Scorpio, the sign we're in right now, October 23 to November 21. The sign is also a Scorpion. Destiny is calling out about your partnership, Scorpio. A fated turning point has now arrived. The lunar eclipse highlights how you unite with other people, whether in the form of a romantic business or collaborative relationship. Some Scorpios will go closer and make long-term plans, moving in, making promises, getting engaged, or even being wed. However, if you are not in the right, if you are not with the right mirror to you, prepare to draw attention to the imbalance and go your separate ways. That is to occur, it is actually to redirect you to better connections going forward. Single Scorpios can enjoy this energy too by putting themselves out there to meet someone new. You may cross paths with the soulmate who is destined to be yours. Do not hold yourself back. Circulate and look for someone who sets your soul ablaze. Sagittarius, this is the centaur, that's right, November 22 to December 21. Prepare to get extremely busy, Sagittarius. The new moon cycle has begun. Highlight your productivity and your daily routine. You may now be juggling more projects and responsibilities than ever, but it is important to also watch and prioritize your health. On one hand, you could be debuting a major work-related project that may become a jewel in your crown and give you a major leg up for more opportunities down the line. However, some Sagittarians may leave a job near this time, especially unexpectedly. That will be redirecting you to a much better position elsewhere that suits your time and talents. If on the lookout for another job, search rapidly and something could emerge that seems like a dream role. Another way this lunar eclipse could affect you is specifically highlighting your health, your diet, and exercise routines. You may decide it's time to make a big shift, and if you do so, you can find yourself having more energy than recent years. One last thing to mention is that this eclipse could cause a shift around a pet as well, perhaps the acquisition or the passing of one. Next is Capricorn. That's like the goat with the tail. It looks like a mermaid, like a fishtail. December 22 to January 19. Celebration is coming for you, Capricorn. Of all the zodiac signs, you could enjoy this lunar eclipse most of all as it highlights your sector of passion. This could be the major breakthrough that you've been looking for around true love, romance, fertility, or creativity. If single, you could cross paths with a soulmate, perhaps someone who changes your life forever. If already dating, you could find that you are suddenly deeply in love, perhaps more than ever. Do not waste this energy. If you're looking because it could ignite your heart and sex life in vivid and electric ways. Capricorns already coupled can share this fire too, as you may reignite the spark with your partner in a vibrant way. Plan something special, romantic, and sexy. If you've been hoping for a news of a child, you could also be in luck. For those who are already parents, you will notice that one of your children steps up as a mount, you notice that one of your children steps up and has a monumental victory, likely something to make you feel especially proud. Last to mention is that the very eclipse could provide more time for creativity, hobbies, sport, or recreation. Dive right in. Next is Aquarius, which is the water bearer. We're said to be in this age right now. January 20 to February 18. A powerful turning point around your domestic life is upon you, Aquarius. Some of you will be moving, renovating, relocating, redirecting your home significantly. Others may decide to pursue real estate affairs and see a shift around the markets. Another way this could affect you is that you are required to step up to handle a family situation rapidly, especially in regards to your parents or parental figures. Others could be having a significant gathering at their home, one that likely becomes especially memorable or sweet. And finally, one way this could shift your path is that you have roommates or tenants you may find that one leaves, causing you to quickly handle the situation or to find another. No matter what, you're likely to feel a bit emotional or shaken at this time and probably especially nostalgic. Reflect on your heritage and your past. And finally, the last sign of the zodiac is Pisces, the fish, February 19 to March 20. Let your mind open to infinite possibilities, Pisces. The lunar eclipses spotlight an area of your chart that focuses on communication, intellect, knowledge, and ideas. Some Pisceans could be pursuing studies or instead working on a milestone writing or speaking endeavor. Others could be in the progress of launching a significant advertising, social media, or marketing project to great effect. You may have some very important messages reverberating in your soul and mind, and it's crucial for you to launch them into the world. Congrats, or actually contracts, negotiations, and legalities may appear near this time too, likely favoring you. Yet another way that could affect you is that you may embark upon some exciting short-distance travel, whether it's by plane, train, or car. If you venture upon the trip, you find yourself inspired and rejuvenated. This trip could be with friends or even to connect with a sibling if you have one. So that's some information there about the zodiac signs and how it affects everybody. This, of course, is via the tropical zodiac, but pretty interesting information right there that I guess pertain to everyone in one way, shape, or form, all the signs right there. And this full moon is called the Beaver Moon. That's what they call it. A lot of different cultures and races have different names for the moon, but this one is known as the Beaver Moon, I guess pertaining to the animal, the beaver. Kind of a weird animal. The tail looks like a chocolate waffle, doesn't it? I always kind of felt that it did. I don't even know if I've ever seen a beaver in real life, actually. But yeah, the full moon is the Beaver Moon. Let's see what that means. Farmer's Almanac still happens to be a pretty decent source for like normal stuff like this. You know, they haven't gone LGBT, P, Q, Z, whatever yet. I hope not. There's so few outlets left that are actually normal. Let's just take a gander at the chat right here. Let's see. OG is a Gemini and Josh is a Libra. OG is saying, my creative and spirituality have been both increasing and I'm getting a huge green thumb. Been spending a lot of time in my greenhouse. That's awesome. Growing some bonsai trees and bonsai fruits, salads and herbs. Cool. Fun. That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, it's good that we all, you know, have ways to improve ourselves. And if we share with other people that we've been improving ourselves, like, it's really motivating, right? For people to be like, oh, wow, you're doing that? Okay, I'm doing that now too, you know? So that's fun. That's a great way for people to really, you know, say, oh, okay, cool stuff. So yeah, so a bit about the Beaver Moon. Yeah, the Beaver Moon. This is the full moon of November. The moon reaches peak illumination in the wee hours of Friday. Of course, that's passed already. And we're having this near total lunar eclipse where apparently 98% of the moon will be covered by the Earth's shadow at the height of the eclipse. During this eclipse, the moon, the sun, and the Earth stand in line with the Earth in the middle, causing the planet's shadow to be cast onto the moon. This gives the moon a reddish, coppery hue, with the nickname of the Blood Moon. But is this moon truly a blood moon? And why is it called the Beaver Moon? It's basically attributed to Amerindian, colonial American, and European folklore. The name of each moon was applied to the entire lunar month and what occurred during that moon. So why is it called the Beaver Moon, you may ask yourself? This is the time of year when beavers begin to take shelter in their lodges, having laid up sufficient stores of food for the long winter ahead. During the time of the fur trade in North America, it was also the season to trap beavers for their thick, winter-ready pelts. Alternative names also exist for the Beaver Moon, and the name of the moon highlights the actions of animals preparing for winter and the onset of the colder days ahead. Digging or scratching moon, or the Tinglet Moon, invokes the image of animals foraging for fallen nuts and shoots of green foliage, and bears digging their winter dens. The Dakota and Lakota term Deer Rutting Moon refers to the time when the deer are seeking out mates, and the Algonquin Whitefish Moon describes the spawning time for this year with fish. In reference to the seasonal change of November, this moon has also been called the Frost Moon by the Cree and the Assiniboine people, and the Freezing Moon by the Anishinaabe. For good reason, winter is right around the corner. So pretty cool how people would name the moon based on what was going on. I mean, pretty simple stuff, right? Keeps it easy, keeps you connected to what is going on. very nice. So a little bit there about the beaver moon. And every moon has multiple names, of course. So you've got some new messages. Okay. So what else can I mention on this mini broadcast that I haven't already mentioned? Let's see. Oh yeah, I think that whatever is going on today with this this Rittenhouse case, I think is definitely a coincidence, you know, or you know, just that it's on this day with this, you know, event of having like almost a full eclipse and, you know, a full moon. I think there's definitely a reason why they do stuff like they do. Supposedly today is International Men's Day. I didn't even know that that was something. There's like an International Women's Day or something like that, which is what, March, I think. But yeah, apparently it's International Men's Day. Surprised that like this is actually allowed in the culture still. Female trannies at some point will probably take it over. You know, there's probably like some women who like literally think they're men, like on social media, like writing like Happy International Men's Day to themselves. Like, could you imagine the level of narcissism to actually think that you're the opposite sex and then to draw the attention and the onus away from the opposite sex onto yourself and ask for like, you know, basically pleas of likes and comments. I mean, gee whiz. And we're supposed to bow to this. And if we're not, we're bigots. I mean, these people need lives. Like, what the hell is wrong with people? Mind-boggling. Who knows, this whole International Men's Day thing could be a absolute and total and complete psyop. It probably is. I mean, probably. Oh, they want to look at this. Look at this. They want to improve gender relations and promote gender equality. Of course, that has nothing to do with promoting, you know, fair and equal treatment of the sexes. Of course, ideally, that would be happening in a monoracialistic society because a white society has different values. Look at the way the non-whites and all these religions like treat women like animals, like filth, right? Look at how the Hasids feel about women, right? I mean, do we really need a multi-racialist view on how Zog should be telling us how men and women are supposed to interact? No. Gender equality just means transsexualism or transhumanism. That's just a fluff, libshit word right there. So yeah, International Men's Day is apparently a legit thing. It's a global holiday. It recognizes the cultural, political, and socioeconomic achievements of men. And it all is around the six pillars of International Men's Day. Okay? And the six pillars are nation, union, society, community, family, marriage, and childcare. Well, those are actually really good things. And in an NS perspective, your nation, of course, is your race. Union with everyone would be like that union of people who were racially homogenous. Society would be having like a normal, healthy society without the type of Weimar stuff like Magnus Hirschfeld's tranny clinic or any of the crud today that passes as progressive. Community would be having a monoracialistic community where you could knock on someone's door and give them a jello mold and welcome them to the neighborhood. Of course, this would all be happening in a high-trust white society. Family, of course, making a family, you know, marriage, childcare, that all goes together, your own family. So yeah, these are all, of course, not race mixing within your family or, you know, transsexualizing your family or whatever. But yeah, these are all things that are normal and could be applied to a racialist society or racial people. But of course, this is just, you know, a psyop. And look at this. This is so gross. This is so like typical of all the shit culture, like the literal shit culture that we have. It also happens to be World Toilet Day on November 19th. It's probably deliberate that they made this International Men's Day on the same day as World Toilet Day. It probably like some Talmudic poop humor, you know, just crazy. But yeah, I guess I guess every day should really be International Men's Day and International Women's Day because people should be every day, like working for their nation, union, society, community, family, marriage, and childcare. Like that should be like daily values. It shouldn't just be like one day. Oh, look at this. Days that are related to International Men's Day, Father's Day, Children's Day, International Women's Day, People's Day. Oh, no, no, it's a People's Day. Get this. International Non-Binary People's Day. Oh, man, this is mind-boggling. Just so everyone knows in the who's listening, July 14th is International Non-Binary People's Day. Yep. And they mentioned how all the countries that... Wow, these are all the countries that allow you to have an X on your driver's license. Australia, Bangladesh. Shit, that's a wild card. Canada, Denmark, Germany, Netherlands, and New Zealand include 9 non-binary options on the passport, as well as 23 states in America plus Washington, D.C. can now allow residents to put X on their license. Okay, July 14th, I think, is Bastille Day. I don't think it's International Non-Binary People's Day, but yep, of course, just a way to take these International Men and Women's Days and just psyop it into something else that normalizes essentially, like, I'd say like transsexualism is almost kind of like a narcissistic reaction to like the fractured, corrupt energy and nature of society, you know? I mean, that's what it really is. It's like people are damaging themselves and mutilating themselves the same way the society, you know, and the nation has been mutilated, but like they're taking it to a degree where they're doing it to try to gain some type of, I don't know, like attention in like a narcissistic way. What an insane psychological pattern Zog has bestowed on humanity. It's gosh, that's why I did that show yesterday about the rituals and connecting and doing all of that, because there's so many things out there that can just snare us and divert us. We don't need any of that. More so than ever, you know, having a meditation practice, I cannot stress that enough as being something that is really, really a worthy endeavor. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. You know, anyone can devote, anyone has 10 minutes. You probably spent 10 minutes today doing something that was a total waste of your time. So everyone has 10 minutes to devote to something like meditation. Let's take a gander at the check. Okay. Uncle Semantic is saying they must have been missed changing history to herstory or canceling ties for pointing towards oppression. They always have something going on. They always have some type of way to do something and, you know, find a way to dehumanize people in the process, you know, and then just, you know, create basically a polar opposite of everything. Zerstery, maybe. Oh, there we go. International Non-Binary Tranny Bot Day, Thoughts of Seeds is saying. Yeah, that'll be a new one. And if we don't want to celebrate it, we'll be considered to be fleshists, right? Something mind-seeing like that. Gosh, just incredible. Mind-zoggling. What a world. What else do I have for this show? I think that's, I don't know. There really isn't much that I have. I saw today that Mattel, you know, the farm, Neuve company, obviously, but they make Barbies. And I mean, I used to play with those, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, probably like a lot of gals did. But now they're making these, quote, gender neutral Mattel dolls, which essentially just look like what I guess the culture would say is, quote, non-binary. Basically, when a man or a woman, in this case, these are women, just dress in a way that isn't really, I guess, stereotypically feminine, and they just kind of look like, they look like boys, they look like men. That's the thing with like women who end up becoming trannies. To me, they just look like boys. They don't really look like men. And that kind of like now makes me think like why so many of these Hollywood guys, these guys in Hollywood, these like, you know, quote, heartthrob celebrities, these hunks who are supposedly, you know, dripping with women and like all this stuff, that a lot of those are probably just like women who are like just pass as like boys, but not really men. But a lot of those guys are always like pretty boys. And I guess it makes sense now that they're actually really pretty women who are just like now living a life, like pretending to be a guy. Like it's weird, but yeah, they're making these gender neutral dolls. Mattel is making them. And basically it's just girl dolls that are dressed like in a way that's not really traditionally a hyper feminized look. And they're passing that off as transsexualism. I think all this whole idea of gender is a mistake, because the idea that you have to be a girl to wear pink is like kind of ridiculous. Like, I wasn't that kind of child. I wasn't like a girly girl, and I'm not a tranny. I'm not non-binary or whatever X, Z, Zer, they, them, they want to use, whatever crap it is. Like, it's just to make people who don't fit into the Zog normative thing to fit into another Zog box. That's essentially what it is. And they have, of course, they have this tranny or drag queen who's promoting these Barbies. It's all so mind-seeing. And this person is like wearing this like hair thing. It's probably like a wig, but there are like all these Barbie heads like on the hairpiece. Like, there's like 9 Barbie heads like on the hairpiece. It's just, it's really weird. A lot of things are really weird these days. But yeah, it does confuse normal people, Josh. It is. It really does. It confuses a lot of people. And I mean, especially for kids, like, what do you do if, like, do you want your children to see this stuff? I mean, even in the store, to see like these drag queens, like on the boxes and stuff of toys, like it's scary, you know, really frightening. I would have been real scared if I saw, like, you know, these guys that have like these super, super long eyebrows and just this really exaggerated, like essentially this super hyper feminized look, but really doesn't look like a woman. It's just Zog's version of being hyper feminized. It's weird. It's really weird, actually. How do you remain normal and sane when everyone around us is crazy? Uncle Semantic is asking. Gosh, it's hard sometimes. It's really hard. I guess you just kind of have to expose yourself to things that resonate with you, or, you know, communicating with other humans that have, you know, similar like-minded types of stuff. Like, I think that's really the best things, stuff like that. Yeah, Thoughts of Seeds is right with all of them little tools and strategies spoken about here. Yeah, pretty much that's how you manage it. It's a multitude of things, you know. It's making everything kind of into a ritual and just kind of pulling back from everything and knowing that you're better than it, and it's okay to be better than it, you know. It's not like a cocky thing to say. It's okay to say I'm better than this. Like, we're all better than this, right? Definitely better than this. Yeah, definitely. What was I going to say too? Oh gosh, just thinking about that whole thing. Like, I saw this mug, I think like Sur La Table, which is like a nice cooking place. Like, I've gotten many things there before, is selling this mug, one that said his, one that said hers, and one that said they. And I'm thinking like, what? Like, that is so narcissistic. Like, oh no, you're going to call me they. Like, that royalty refers to themselves as we. Like, this is just, it's insane to indulge these people. Josh writes, is writing they with the triple parentheses. Like, yeah, it's just, none of this should be indulged. Like, Oyid should not be indulged. You know, all of this weird gender language, this should not be indulged. Like, none of this should be indulged at all, because like, it's going to change people's thought patterns. And it's just, no. Definitely shouldn't be indulged in. Let's see if there's anything else that I have that I saw today that's worth talking about. Not too much. I basically covered it yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was actually a very good show for a primer. If anyone's looking for like a primer idea of, you know, kind of where do I start with all this health stuff? How do I kind of just pull myself away from all this crud? How do I do this, you know? So yeah, definitely many ideas in that show for pulling away from all this stuff. I didn't get to see the lunar eclipse, Josh. I woke up like really early this morning because I went to bed like super early last night, and I kind of forgot about the eclipse, and I didn't see it, unfortunately. Yeah. There was one more thing I saw. Oh gosh, this was mind-seeing, and really infuriating that this whole anti-white, anti-European, anti-natural agenda has really like spread out to everything. Like, not just like, you know, like a black-owned company or whatever, or some libshit company. I guess all these companies are lipshit companies, I guess, or Zio companies, where it really comes down to it. But there's a website called The Spruce Eats. It's got, you know, recipes and, you know, basically recipes. I've not really used this one. I don't really do too many internet recipes. I do, but I source them really carefully. And like, I do a lot of cookbook stuff too. Like, I do post a lot of stuff on the cooking page that is, you know, recipes that you get online, but I also do a lot of recipes from books. But this particular site, I really haven't used too much, albeit I'm familiar with it. But they put out this crud the other day about their commitment to anti-racism. And of course, that word is a bomb right there. That basically means to say that, oh, everyone must be a racist, like the anti-Semitism. Everyone must be, everyone must be a Semite. No, I guess that wouldn't really work that way. Everyone must be against Semites, even though, well, I don't even know if Oy Vey's are actually, that's a language group, Semitic. I think back in the day, they used to write down when they used to come like through Ellis Island in New York, they used to write their race as Hebrew back in the day. They didn't write white or European like they would for us. So, yeah, but of course, when you see the word anti in front of something, it makes you think that the thing after it is bad, right? So racism is bad. Of course, it's not really racism. It's just having any racial backbone. That's what, quote, anti-racism is out to get, people who have a racial backbone, as opposed to a lot of people who were libshits are absolutely spineless. I mean, how could anyone identify as a libshit given how they're trying to promote, like, pedophilia, you know, with a whole minor attracted person? Like, how could anybody? I mean, the whole idea to even be caught up in politics, especially at this point, is just on its own is mind-seeing. But I mean, ugh, how would anyone have any allegiance to that? That party is just gross. So this website, The Spruce Eats, is committed to anti-racism, and they're writing this stuff saying that for too long, mainstream food websites, including ours, oh, we've been guilty, we're guilty, we're white guilt, have been written by Western, mainly white people, for Western white people. This is a narrow and misleading perspective, but it's worse than that. Food is central to our lives, and how we represent it deeply affects how we see ourselves and each other. Promoting this homogenized, white, Western perspective of food is one of the most insidious ways we feed systematic racism. And as we've seen, systematic racism hurts people. It is deadly. We refuse to be complicit in a system that is causing harm to specific groups of people based on their race or ethnicity. We will work here to commit to doing everything about recognizing the humanity of all people, Black, Indigenous, Asian, everyone. It's not an erasure of the painful past. We recognize, for example, to this date, colonialism, occupation, and expansion write themselves into the food system. So here we see a lot of censorship is going to begin in the food system. How many old school cookbooks are going to be possibly discontinued, completely erased, banned, right? I've always said many times that one of the best ways to kind of trace back the real history is through food. That was a harder thing for them to kind of psyop. I mean, they're guilty, of course, of stealing so many dishes throughout the lineage of so many people, you know, bagels from Russia, bialys from Poland, schnitzel from Austria. I mean, they've been guilty of this, you know, adding this to their culinary patchwork quilt for millennia, but now they're going to start the censorship of food in a hardcore way, I can tell already. We are reckoning with where we have been, where we want to go, and who we're bringing with us. These challenges will accelerate our collective knowledge and empathy to help us understand each other and the world better. Over the next year, we will focus on these four areas: reviewing our content, which means they're going to get rid of a lot of white recipes probably, right? Building team anti-bias capacity, that means probably cracking down on white anything. Building a diverse team of contributors, we know what that means already. And creating partnerships, probably means aligning with more low-life companies, right? So they're saying that they pledge to improve their content in their library, and they want to have this anti-bias review board reviewing the site for counter-bias. Wow, they're actually paying some company called Dot Dash to review the content for anti-bias. So that means that since January 2021, we have devoted 60% of our photo efforts to improve aesthetic quality and cultural imagery on non-white, Western recipes in our Thai, Korean, Jamaican, Chinese, Latin Americans, and Southeast Asian libraries. These efforts will continue to affect and include the cuisines of Latin America, as well as recipes from the Jewish diaspora. And of course, you know the way I am. I'm all for good food, regardless of where it is. I enjoy a lot of Asian food. I have for pretty much my whole life. It's probably the food I enjoy the most, actually, and cook with the most amount of ease, besides some really plain stuff that might just categorize as really any food from any place. So I enjoy all the world's culinary treasures, but obviously we can see what they're doing here. They want to associate anything white with racism, and they go on to say that their entire editorial staff is committed to self-driven education about racism, inclusion, non-white, and non-Eurocentric foods and cuisines by reading, attending talks and panels and immersive learning. So they're going to drill out of everybody, and they're going to have like a Pavlovian response to anything white being bad, which is really unfortunate. And of course, they're going to hire more majorities. They mentioned this right here. They said they're going to expand relationships with BIPOC. I know that means hiring majorities. And they're looking to pursue authenticity. Oh, wait, excuse me. Wait. We're also committed to avoiding tokenism. Okay, so they're going to hire all these majorities, but they're avoiding tokenism by hiring contributors to produce content around their areas of expertise, not limiting diverse contributors to produce content reflecting their specific cultural experience. Okay, so that means that they're going to be hiring majorities to basically contribute the recipes that are Eurocentric. That's essentially what that means right there. We also recognize that food culture is constantly evolving and that the pursuit of, quote, authenticity is another form of tokenism. I thought I've heard it all, and now I realize I haven't. Okay, so trying to make the most authentic recipe is a form of tokenism. So because I like to get sushi when I get sushi from a place where the chef is Japanese and actually from Japan, speaks Japanese, knows the Japanese traditions of Japanese food, that pursuit of my authenticity would be a form of tokenism. I got it. As we strive to better contextualize our content culturally and accurately, we also know there is no single correct way to prepare any dish. Oh, okay. Great. That is amazing. I can just see where food is going after something like that. I mean, so basically, if you're someone who appreciates really good Japanese food, you're essentially a racist because that black guy down the street knows how to make Japanese food using all these different ingredients. So you're a racist for wanting that Japanese food. This is where it's going. Incredible. Mind-seeing. Anyone who falls for this is just, oh my God, like, just ridiculous. So their commitment to anti-racism is all these things that they're doing. So obvious what they're doing. Gross. And they've been making these commitments since November 2020. At the bottom of the page, they have this like little resume written out of like all the wonderful things they did to commit to anti-racism in June of 2020. Of course, keep in mind that was like right after the whole Floyd thing happened. So they immediately jumped on this, right? And then as of January 2021, that's when they started to really expand it. And now it's going even further. Be prepared for all the recipes on the internet to break down into absolute sludge and crud. We will need to procure old cookbooks and curate our own milieu of this because they're ruining it. They're ruining it for everybody, unfortunately. Let's take a gander at some stuff over here in the chat. Okay. I still prefer English muffins over bagels, Josh is saying. I'm a true multiculturalist when it comes to music and food. Yeah, I am too. And I have no issue saying that. I mean, I think that's actually like something, I think that's actually like being like a rich person. Like, I mean, like, you know, culturally rich or spiritually rich. Like, I think that's actually a good thing. Like, if we're just the kind of person to be like, oh, I don't eat that, I'm not going to try that. Like, that, honestly, I think that makes someone just sound like really, really closed-minded, you know? Like the kind of people who just be like, no, I'm not going to try that dish. I'm not going to hear that. Like that, I think that's really actually, see, that's the quote racist that they want to kind of, you know, promote in the media. Like that kind of like small-minded person, right? And like culturally small person. Like that's not what a lot of people are like at all. It's just another one of those things that they promote. I love me some Chinese food and some Japanese steakhouses, OG is saying. Yeah, I like that stuff too. You know, I like all this stuff. I make all this stuff at home too a lot of the times, and I'm not going to stop making. Oh wait, I guess I'm engaging in tokenism, right? When I make the food, that's gonna be another thing. They're going to tell whites that they can no longer cook non-white food because it's tokenism. I mean, anyone who believes this shit should just, yeah, it's just, it's incredible. Mind is ugly. I guess I can't practice kung fu anymore either. Or grow bonsai. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, if you like to do something and it's, you know, it happens to be part of some other culture or race, like you just make it part of your little thing. It doesn't mean that you're appropriating it or that you're not white anymore. I mean, people have such rigid and ridiculous ideas about things. I mean, for what, you know? Crazy. So I think that's all I have. I just want to like kind of pop in and do something kind of quick. I think I'm in the mood for a snack too, actually, at this point. So yeah, little show about eclipse and the full moon, a little bit about International Men's Day, and a little bit about anti-racism and how it is affecting the food world, unfortunately. Uncle Semantic is saying, I could do without the African fufu and the black guy using buckets for drums. Is the fufu that, isn't that like a dish that they make where they pound something? I think it is. I think it's like they pound some like taro root paste or something, and it makes this kind of like starch that they eat, because in certain parts of like Africa and, you know, Southeast Asia, they eat like a lot of tubers for their starch, like the Kitavan people who are from, I think they're from like Fiji or that area of the world. So they're kind of like Australoid, but also Mongoloid. They eat like a ton of tubers. That's what like a huge part of their diet. They actually eat a very high carbohydrate diet, but the rest of their diet is like tropical fruit and coconut and fish. So kind of like the Tal diet we talked about yesterday. Yeah, some doughy shit. That's exactly what it is. I've actually never had fufu before, but I have a recipe book on how to make it, actually. It's a book about how to make chicken soup all around the world, and there's a fufu recipe in there. So yeah, I'm going to head out. I'm going to eat something. Have a wonderful full moon and weekend. I am your host, Tabitha. You have just listened to Eclipse Full Moon Special on White Wellness Radio, your home for high-vibe racialist radio. I will be catching everyone again on the next broadcast. Okay, have a wonderful night, everyone. Sat Nam.